booklet that we have been working on for a number of years, and we change it every now and then, but we've adopted it as sort of a review of what church membership is, and so thus the title, if you'll take a look at it, is Church Membership, What Does This Mean? And it's sort of longish. We can't go through the whole thing tonight, but I'll go through a few pages with you and leave it with you to read the rest at your leisure. If you'll notice, first of all, on the first page, the names and phone numbers of the elders are and the pastor are written there. My phone number is there, you see. If you want to get a hold of me, it's there. If you want to talk to pastor, it's there too. Page one is sort of a summary of what a Christian is and what his unique attitudes are since he is redeemed in Christ and saved. And on page two, if you'd turn, it talks about the benefits of grace that we're given in as Christians. Of course, without Christ, we would be lost forever, and so there's great benefits in being a Christian, the confidence of our salvation and the forgiveness of sins, and you can sort of look at that at your leisure a little bit later. And then page three, it's most important that we have faith in our hearts and that we have that faith, but the second most important thing is to belong to a church and to be a part of the body of Christ at a church, since we are not alone as Christians, but Christ wants us to gather together as Christians. So there's a few Bible passages there from the New Testament, which are Jesus and the apostles' words that exhort us to meet together as a church. And again, that ties to the benefits that are bulleted at the bottom of the page. Now, since we are Christians and we have been given a great gift in Christ, as members of the church and brothers in Christ, it's good for us to review, not corporately, I don't want to talk to you about church offices and that kind of organization, but what kind of organization the Scripture sets up and that Christ wants us to have as a church. And so the question is, since I'm a member of the church, on the top of the page there, how do I rightly use my membership? And I've got three bullet points, and they correspond to both this page and the next two pages. Each bullet point is a page. As a child of God, I must, if you'll notice where it's highlighted, receive my share in the eternal heritage earned by Christ. That's receiving salvation in Christ and his benefits. The second one, be a responsible steward of my church's gospel. In other words, since we share in the gospel and God's given it equally to all of us, we have a responsibility to maintain it and to use it rightly. And then finally, since the gospel is the gospel of God's love for us, when that love lives within us, then we become concerned about our brothers. So it's the use of the gospel, not only for ourselves, but for those that we see around us that need that gospel. Now, what does it mean? What have we received in the church? What's the most important use of our membership? And there you see the next highlighted item there is that Jesus is our treasure in heaven and the one who left us his death benefits. And that's basically what the church is. We are the people that have been given the saving death of Christ and all of his benefits. And so to receive those things is to receive the treasure that when we leave everything else behind here on earth, we'll always have that treasure, because that treasure is God who is reunited with us in Christ. And think of the Holy Supper, what Christ calls that, his last will and testament. This is where we receive the very body and blood of Christ that has forgiven our sins and takes us to heaven. And we become what we eat. You know, if we eat and drink the body and blood of Christ, we become the body and blood of Christ. And the organization of the church, we're all brothers and equal shareholders of that salvation in Christ. But every church has a pastor. And that's what's next highlighted on the page. In the church, you must let your brother, the pastor, serve you as Christ commands. Christ has ordered that within the church, there be one who's like the executor of the will, the one who hands out the death benefits. And that's what the office of pastor is in the church. And so he listens to our confession and in Christ's place forgives us our sins. He's commanded to do this, to say the words of institution and hand out to us the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion. And he's the one who is called among us as the public preacher and teacher of the gospel. And since Christ puts a preacher and teacher into our lives, if we receive the gifts of God, we receive the preaching and teaching. And that's why we gather every week and we listen to the teaching of our pastor, and we hope and pray that God teaches him so that he can teach us and that we can all grow in our faith. And it's important to grow in our faith because it's a living thing. And most biologists will tell you if a living thing isn't growing, it means it's probably dying. So for our good, we eat every day, and for our good, we eat of Christ's spiritual food. Then having received those things in the church, and that's what we promise in our church membership, to regularly receive these things, then we have a stewardship of it. God has given us a gift. You know, if someone gives you a nice gift, like if someone maybe gave you a car, you'd say, oh, that's great that I have a car, but then it would be your responsibility to fill up the tank and take care of it. And the gospel is sort of the same way. We receive this gift, and the best use of it is to receive it on a regular basis and receive our salvation, but then we've got something precious that God wants us to take care of. And so that's what we have in this first highlight. Having been given these things, we're responsible for their right use. So having learned it, we should be listening to the preaching and teaching at our church, and not only receiving it, but listening critically and making sure that what's being preached and taught is according to God's word. Because if the pastor slips up, or even if we had a bad pastor that wanted to mislead us, who would correct him? But we ourselves, the sheep of Christ, who love God's word and don't want to see it misused. And with that right use of God's word, we also look at the right use of the sacrament, the second point on the page. For ourselves, we're supposed to be receiving it, having examined ourselves and seeing our sin. But also we're concerned as to who we as a church give the sacrament to. And that's why we practice closed communion and make sure those who are receiving it know what they're receiving so that they can discern the body of Christ and receive it to their benefit. Because St. Paul says that receiving it without discerning the body and blood, we would receive judgment to ourselves. And that's that next highlight there. And then finally, because our pastors and our staff at church don't produce anything that the world would buy, so they don't do commerce with the world, can't earn a living in that way, but the rest of us do, we have a responsibility to support the pastor and the staff with gifts to the church. And by that, we're not buying our salvation. We're getting so much more from them than we could give with our gifts, because we're receiving Christ and salvation from them. But they're serving us in that way. We also need to then support them and to clothe them and feed them, and that's what our offerings do. And since we're not a European church that gets state taxes, it's the responsibility of all of us in the congregation that are benefiting from the word to support the ministry of the word in that way. And then finally, on the page 6, which is the last thing I wanted to go through with you, you see the top of the page is entitled, Am I My Brother's Keeper? And I hope we've learned from Christ our Lord, who kept us so well, that indeed we are our brother's keeper, and we keep our brother when we support the ministry and the church and the people that work there. That's one way to we support them. But we also support them by looking out for each other spiritually. As we see in that first paragraph under keeping the brotherhood in the church, the office of the keys, the recognition of brothers and sisters in Christ is given to the whole church, which means we should be looking out for each other. And if someone is straying into open sin or doing something that is against one of God's spoken commandments and therefore may be straying from the faith, we are to love them enough to sort of go and confront them with their sin and to be as helpful as we can to them to turn from that sin into repentance, lest they harden their heart against the Lord and be lost. And so we're our brother's keeper by trying to apply that gospel. And sometimes we have to apply a little law if someone's forgetting about God's law in order to give them forgiveness and to give that forgiveness to them. And so that being the case, look at the next highlight. You can expect to be humbly disciplined by fellow sinners, which means when we correct each other, we don't do it as someone that's holier than thou, but as a fellow sinner who's trying to help and to turn a sinner back to Christ. And so that's part of our responsibility as a church. And as we're responsible to correct a brother, we should also be open to receiving corrections from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if they confront us with a sin, not to become angry, but to be thankful that someone cares about us enough to confront us with sin. And then the fourth point there is we're to love also those who are not yet part of the church, and to share the gospel with folks outside of the church that are still in the darkness, and to, above all, preserve our church and our teaching for our children and our children's children who are not yet to be born. We should never be a church just for our times, but a church for the generations to come. So that's sort of a summary of what church membership is about, what our relationship in the church is, how we're to use that, what our responsibilities are. Did you have any questions about anything that that were on those three pages? So that all seemed clear? Okay, very good. And perhaps even from just reading through this, you can understand some of the concerns that we have for you as a brother in Christ, because we haven't seen you very involved in the church. And most concerned about not receiving God's word and sacrament that saves us and gives you Christ each and every week. And I'm sort of here over a third commandment violation, where the commandment says to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Thou shalt sanctify the holy day. And do you remember what Luther's explanation is? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. So I'm wondering if I can help you in any way with our not seeing you in church. Is there a problem or something that we can help you with in that regard?
I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but, you know, I do love the Lord. I feel like I do not despise his preaching. I study his word often. I even listen to sermons online and other things, and I feel like I'm very close to the Lord and that I'm not sinning by what I'm doing here. I'm just kind of confused why, you would approach me in this way.
Well, what I hear you telling me is that you're well aware of the doctrine and you're hungry for his word, and that's a good thing. But you know, in our society where we have so much technology, it's a wonderful thing to have that technology. But I think sometimes we allow that technology to substitute for the actual world and real life relationships, and I think the concern would be that you can't receive the Holy Supper through the electrons or from a long distance. And what that Holy Communion reminds us is that God really does want us to gather together flesh and blood with flesh and blood other Christians and flesh and blood Christ at the sacrament. And I would say, you know, that's sort of the nub of the problem. You can do a lot of things on your own. You know, there's emergency baptism you could do for your family, and as a head of the household, maybe you do family devotions, which is great. That's your job. But we've always said in the Lutheran Church, communion is not something a house father can do in his house, but something we come out of our houses to do and come publicly together. And so I guess I would exhort to you the words of the Lord, and they're not my words, they're the Lord's word. He said, take and eat. And that's my concern. You haven't heeded the Lord's words there. What do you think of that? Have you sort of thought of that angle?
Yeah, I've thought of that, and I feel bad that sometimes I don't take communion quite as often as I probably should have. But you know, I still feel like I'm getting what I need. I feel like I'm pretty good with what I'm doing and comfortable. And I guess I don't see the great benefit, and I feel kind of uncomfortable going to church sometimes. I don't really care for some of the people there. It's just they're not my kind of people.
Yeah, well, that's that's one reason why the internet is such a safe place. Even you don't even have to be nice sometimes on the internet. That's an incredible point, but the. I think what I would come back to the command of the Lord to take, eat, and take drink. And I would again, not to be critical of what you're saying, I validate everything you're saying, and I'm sure that everything that you said is the truth. But sometimes what we feel is not the most important thing. You know, the martyrs in the church may not have felt good about their faith, being put to death there on the stake, you know, being burned at the stake or losing their head because they were Christians. And I would beg you to sort of set your feelings as being secondary things and let them come as they will, but let them give way to the primary thing. And the command of Christ to take, eat, and take drink, I'd really think about asking the Lord to make that greater to you than your feelings and overcome those feelings. And actually follow what he says, and then believe the great benefit. Because in communion, when you deprive yourself of communion, you deprived yourself of the very body and blood of Christ. And it doesn't feel like it or taste like it, but we believe by the words that that's the benefit that we're getting, and that's what he wants you to have. And feel good or not, it will benefit you. You know, sometimes you even go to the doctor, and the cures he gives you don't feel very good or taste very good. But you know, those are what we need in order to be cured.
Thank you. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.